Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. We're broadcasting from Studio A tonight, live from deep inside of the Free Zones, and across the Free Zones to all of the Patriots that are very encouraged this weekend, especially those of you living in what was formerly known as Eastern Washington. Now, from here on forward, it is Liberty State. Well, that's what we're calling it. Hasn't been officially declared, but it's being deeply instilled in the hearts and the minds of God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots across Eastern Washington. Western Washington has abandoned its heritage and traditional American ideals and values, and they went way off the rails. So this weekend, yesterday, there was a rally, a movement for the 51st State Liberty State fundraiser event. There were 350 chairs set out, and the place was packed, and there was standing room only, as near as I could tell. Well, I know there was a lot of people standing, and I didn't see too many vacant seats. It was just a great, great event. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I am going to hold off. I know, I said we're going to do the one-time pad encryption, revisiting that and begin practice sessions with those because they're just a lot of fun. Kind of a throwback from the Cold War era. Really a lot of fun, and they're very useful. It is unbreakable encryption. Could be a very valuable tool for us one day in the future. But it was, as you can imagine, a pretty chaotic weekend. I just had to reassemble the studio because I had all the sound equipment at the event. We provided the audio for the event, and it was such a great time. I want to share with you some of the thoughts and experiences. I want to share with you the audio from some of what was covered last night. But first, I want to cover my thoughts where I left off yesterday on the show on KTW. We titled that part one. So this segment will be part two. We will not do news and commentary. But this segment is still sponsored by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. So if you get a chance to go and check that out, that 10-book series, including the audiobooks about the collapse, or at the very least the partial collapse of the United States, and then the rebuilding by patriots in the region, in the Northwest, Pacific Northwest. So go to 299days.com to learn more about that. So picking up where we left off, and then I want to introduce to you in segment two, I told this guy yesterday, I shook his hand, introduced myself, and I said, man, I would almost consider moving to Stevens County just to vote for you because this is a patriot through and through. He loves freedom. He loves liberty. And he has the proper mindset for the proper role of government and including law enforcement. He's running for sheriff candidate, Michael Berry. And former law enforcement. I'm going to let him introduce himself to you in the next segment because I'm going to play for you the audio file from this sheriff's candidate who has a great chance of taking that position, and it's overdue. It almost seems like in every community there's a boss hog, there's the Sheriff Roscoe Pico train, right? I mean, there's just that politics, you know, that generational corruption and just lots of bones and lots of closets and lots of people, just nastiness going on behind the scenes. Well, Stevens County is no different. Well, they've got their share of that. And it's time for some fresh blood. in several positions over there. And the Patriots are taking notice. It is strong Patriot territory. But this candidate is definitely one that the Patriots are rallying behind. And those who are just learning about him need to learn more about him and get behind him. Remember his name. So let me pick up where I left off yesterday. I was addressing a woman's questions about what the Liberty State would look like. And I wanted to add some clarification to some things. Now, she says, will there be separation of church and state? How does this reconcile with basing the Constitution on any religion or religious principles? Okay, obviously, the atheistic approach to liberty. This is kind of what we're seeing, a trend of this atheistic so-called libertarians. They want liberty, they want freedom, but don't bring up God or you're going to make my head explode. The next person that brings up God and this new state, I'm out. Well, goodbye. We've tried the godless route and it blew up in our face. And I know people hate the nation of Hungary because they declared themselves a Christian nation. But guess what? They're not getting overrun with Muslims. They're not playing the European Union's games on all kinds of levels. But that's not what we're talking about with Liberty State. It is not a matter of, well, let me just say this. Absolutely, there will be separation of church and state. I can guarantee it. The people of the State of Liberty and their chosen delegates will ensure, I'm confident, they will ensure that the legislature will never establish an official state church. And, of course, they'll never use tax dollars to support one. Either. Now, as far as how we reconcile basing the Constitution on any religious or religious principles, we have a long-standing tradition for the foundational basis of nearly every Constitution in the U.S. We've deviated from that, and the people want to return to that. So every Constitution in the United States, from the states on up to the federal level, and I'm going to give you some examples. How are we going to reconcile basing the Constitution on any religious or religious principles? Wow. Okay. That's the question. There's nothing to reconcile. It's a matter of returning to our traditional American ideals. And if you're opposed to that, then you're opposed to restoring liberty. Let me go back to the United States. Now, it's not in the Constitution, but in our birth certificate, the Declaration of Independence, it's very clear. And this was an awesome scene. I thought it was really cool. The HBO series titled John Adams. If you don't have that, get it. Man, we'll put an Amazon link up. It's one of my favorite DVDs. And there's a couple in the whole, what's it, 6 or 8, 10 DVD series. The first two or three are my favorites, but I love the scene where John Adams is sitting there with Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson. They're in the room drafting the Declaration of Independence and the interaction between them. It is amazing. If you don't have that, I recommend looking that up and getting that series. But this is how our Declaration of Independence, the United States birth certificate, reads like this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Creator, God, they made sure that this was in the Declaration of Independence. Now, let's go to the state-level constitutions, and let's read the preambles of some of these. Washington State, we the people of the state of Washington, grateful to the supreme ruler of the universe for our liberties, do ordain this constitution. Idaho's opening of their constitution says, we the people of the state of Idaho, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, to secure its blessings and promote our common welfare, do establish this Constitution. This is the preamble of the states in the American redoubt. Let's look at Montana. This is their preamble. We, the people of Montana, grateful to God for the quiet beauty of our state and the grandeur of our mountains, the vastness of our rolling plains, and desiring to improve the quality of life, equality of opportunity, and to secure the blessings of liberty for this and future generations, do ordain and establish this Constitution. That's my favorite. I love that one. The next preamble, Wyoming. We, the people of the state of Wyoming, grateful to God for our civil, political, and religious liberties, and desiring to secure them to ourselves and perpetuate them to our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution. Those are the preambles of the constitutions of each of these states. Now, they have deviated sharply from this. It is time for Eastern Washington, strongly conservative, overwhelmingly Christian, to break away from the other side of the state, which is forcing laws on a culture that is completely in conflict with what they are trying to force on the people in Eastern Washington. So let's form a country that's going to return us back to that freedom. And people want to start off making sure that God is nowhere involved and not any part of it. That's not American. You're not an American. If you want to have a state constitution belonging to the United States and make a deliberate effort to ensure that God is erased from any of the writings of the foundation of a new state, you're asking for failure. Go somewhere else. That's my take. But see, here's the thing. There's this new fight that's starting to take place on social media. This is why I hate social media. Gosh, things grow out of control so quick. It's so easy, so quickly for somebody to try to poison something. And it just takes on a life of its own. People are like, I don't want any part of your liberty movement. I'm out. If you're talking about banning marijuana, you know, you're going to lose all your support, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, first of all, the dope smokers pulling their support for liberty, I mean, that's so short-sighted. That's to be typical of a dope smoker. But if that's what the whole thing is for you, then maybe you're living in the wrong place. But here, let me take this a step further. Nobody's talking about actually, that's not true. Some people are opining. They are expressing their personal views that I would like to see a state that doesn't allow homosexual marriage. I would like to see a state that doesn't legalize marijuana. I would like to see a state that doesn't force you to wear a motorcycle helmet, whatever it is. At this early stage, it's not a state yet, people. Anybody expressing their views, even if they sound like they are from a position of authority, let's say Representative Matt Shea, who you're going to hear from in a little bit. If he says, we're going to start, you know, join me in this effort to start the new state called Liberty, where marijuana will be banned and nobody will be able to wear helmets. Now, he's not in the position to make that call. He can certainly champion certain ideas and try to influence people. But really, in the end, if this is truly going to be liberty, you are going to have a process where the people get to choose what type of laws they have. So a constitution is being drafted in the very preliminary stages. A constitution is being drafted for the people to be presented to the people for them to decide. And the delegates that are chosen by the people at the county level will ratify or modify a constitution. They will modify it until it's ready and be prepared to be ratified. All the people are going to have a say, not only in what the Constitution looks like, but the laws. Nobody's making laws about whether you can smoke marijuana or cannot. That's not even the issue. You're totally missing the point. The point is we get to make those laws as a people, as a whole people, instead of having laws forced upon us by Olympia and the greater Seattle area, where their culture and views and values are in conflict with ours. We should be able to choose our own laws that fit our values and our ideals and our demographics. So what Eastern Washington is asking for is the right to choose our own laws. So we're not even choosing laws yet. We're fighting for the right to be able to choose our own laws. Then once we break free, then we can begin the process of saying, now that we are our own state, now let's all decide jointly through your delegates, through your representatives, to come together and vote on whether or not we want to have motorcycle helmet laws, whether or not we want to allow marijuana, legalized marijuana, whatever the case is. The Constitution is going to lay out how we choose our laws, and that is all going to be voted on and approved of by the people. And the laws will be chosen by the people on this side of the state instead of by Olympia and the greater Seattle area. Does that make sense? Don't walk away from the movement and withdraw your support because one person posts on Facebook, there shouldn't be any marijuana. So one person says, well, if you guys are going to be that way about it, then I'm going to campaign against Liberty State. What a moron. And this one person in particular claims to, I'm a 27-year medical professional, and I know about you, and you're talking about you idiots. He starts resorting to name calling and accusation like I just did. I called him a moron because it's moronic. The whole logic or false logic to walk away from the ability to make, choose your own destiny. Because one person's stating their opinion about how they wish things would be in the future. So he's going to campaign against Liberty State, against us. So that's a saboteur. Either that's an idiotic approach. The person's an idiot or they're a saboteur. They don't fully understand what they're saying and what they're doing, the concept of this, in which case it just kind of wipes out the whole, they're trying to establish themselves as this intellectual superior person because they're in the medical industry for 27 years. And then they make a decision like, I'm going to campaign against Liberty State because a person recommended that marijuana should be illegal. When that person or no person has any authority to make that decision, they're not making laws at this point. I hope I'm getting my point across. And, wow, what a weekend. It's just been, I ran myself down. But what I want to do is, this is amazing. Before I turn this over, my truck broke down on the way to Colville. And there was a Patriot following us, who's following us up there. And I had my tow strap with me. Is a pulley. The pulley for the serpentine belt exploded. I mean, the bearings just burned up and it just little ball bearings everywhere through the serpentine belt. 33 miles from Colville. Well, he pulled up his diesel up in front of mine, hooked up, and towed us all the way in. I was able to set up the sound system. While they replaced the pulley on my truck and they got done like 10 minutes before the event started, I had the audio, everything dialed in just in perfect time right before the band was getting ready to get up there and practice and they needed the audio set up, the PA system and everything. And it just, there were so many setups. I'm telling you, it's like the devil was trying to totally derail this event from happening yesterday. There's multiple stories that people told me that would have shut this whole thing down. It would have completely changed the outcome completely, except they were just miraculously, these things were overcome. If I was traveling by myself and right there where I was, there's no cell phone coverage, I would have been at the mercy of trying to hitchhike or let somebody, you know, take me up the road to get cell phone service, get my truck towed up to the next little town. And I provided all the sound equipment for this. There was no backup plan. That was it. And it worked. It worked by the grace of God on so many different fronts. This event happened and it was a huge success. Except for some of these saboteurs that are online that are sniveling and crying because they think that, somebody declares marijuana is going to be banned. I'm out of here. Wow. This is where we've come. This is where the patriots, this is where so-called liberty-minded people, there's even a couple on there saying, are you guys going to, continue the hate against and bigotry against homosexuals? And are you going to disallow homosexuals from getting married? And I'm thinking, you know what? That is a great question. I think what we should do before we even address that, what we should do is break off from Western Washington, and we should form our own state and our own legislature chosen by the people from this area, and then let them decide whether or not to allow so-called homosexual marriage, which is not real marriage. There's no such, a boy cannot marry a boy. What they want to do is force us to pretend along with them, like the this gender identity, which is another thing somebody brought up. Gender identity, where you guys stand on that? Well, hold on. As an individual might have a certain perspective, but when it comes to states establishing laws, that's going to be done not by an individual on Facebook, but by legislators chosen by the people. So instead of even addressing that yet, the gender identity thing, which is really, really important to a couple people out there. So if somebody feels like a girl, but they're really, they were born a boy, but they don't. Okay, so they're confused about how, what gender they feel like. So here's the thing. Here's a proposal. Anybody who's confused about whether or not they feel like a boy or a girl, just reach down in your pants and feel, does that feel like a boy or a girl? Okay, that's what you are. So let's just settle it that way. My goodness. And these are the questions, and this is the level that our country has sunken to when people are legitimately asking these questions about forming a new state, and they're weighing on whether or not to support it on whether or not somebody's going to support gender identity. That's the whole reason. That insanity is the whole reason why people want to break free from Western Washington, because we don't even want to be associated with people that are so insane that want to have that discussion. That's not even an intellectual discussion. So, but the answer to all of these questions are, instead of Olympia, instead of Seattle making those choices for us, what laws we will or will not have, let us decide. Let us choose. That's my answer. And then the majority of the people in the area and their demographics and their values will prevail. And that will answer your question whether or not there will be so-called homosexual pretend marriage or gender identity recognition or any of that other nonsense. Let's do that. Let's break off, make a state first, and then let's start voting on what kind of laws we're going to have. It's going to clear everything up. All right, when we come back, I want you to hear an amazing patriot sheriff. We need a lot more of this. This right here is a pretty good litmus test whether or not the sheriff running in your county is worthy of backing. All right, where's their head at? Well, here's a pretty good standard coming up right after this. This is Radio Free Bredell.
I'm not alone. Yes, I know I'm not alone. Not alone.
Yeah, I'm good with that, John. Thank you, buddy.
How rare is it for a government to let expire a temporary tax? And how many times have you known government to repeal any measure which grants power to itself or removes liberty from the citizens? I can count the number of times on one finger and a thumb, with their tips touching one another, of course. John Adams said, a constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever. There is an exception, however, and that is when things begin anew. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder.
All right, this is segment two here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. And segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Selkirk Mountain Real Estate is helping patriots get strategically relocated to property that fits their needs to the northern part of the panhandle of North Idaho. or Northern Idaho. Keep getting ahead of myself there. It's not North Idaho yet. But anyway, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com is the place to go to help you get strategically relocated. Now, coming up, as I promised, Sheriff's candidate for Stevens County, Michael Berry. Several people were interested in hearing that. They said, I want to hear that speech again. Where can I get a copy of that? Well, you can get it right here. And you can probably actually go to his election campaign page, because we're going to make sure that he gets a copy of the audio file just alone, the audio file alone, to post on his election campaign site. So you'll be able to find it there whenever they get that posted. I'll probably get that shot over to them hopefully tonight. So sometime this week. But anyway, I'll let it go from there. So from here, this is Sheriff's candidate, Stevens County, Michael Berry.
Thank you so much. That was awesome. Okay, let's start off the right way, shall we? 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's what this is about. Liberty comes from God, from Jesus Christ. All of liberty comes from there. It doesn't come from man. It doesn't come from government. It comes from God. Galatians 5:1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." And so that brings me to the point of, why are we all here today? We all know what we're trying to accomplish with the dividing of the state, turning it into hopefully the 51st state. Of course, the way it's looking with possibly California, Puerto Rico, Guam, I don't know, we might run in a little bit later, but the number isn't necessarily so important, but the fact that we're getting it done, right? So, to talk about some of the issues as to what has prompted this movement, what has prompted this whole uprising, if you will, well, I don't think that any of us are new to King County policies, to things that are going on in Olympia that don't necessarily reflect our values over here in Eastern Washington. None of us are new to any of the problems that we're seeing with the carbon tax, the gun issues, them wanting to restrict gun usage or various elements of our guns and wanting to license them and renew them every year, those kind of things. We're not unfamiliar with over-regulation. Or Common Core in our schools, there's an awful lot of opposition to the Common Core that is happening. And these are all issues that we're facing every day, and that is what has prompted this entire movement. So, with the 51st state effort, our committee has really been working hard and getting an awful lot done, and there has been an awful lot of groundwork laid so far. And what we're trying to focus on right now is not being problem-minded, not focusing on all the problems that we're aware of that just keep coming from Olympia. Instead, we need to understand that we have a solution. We are fortunate and blessed right now to have Matt Shea, Representative Matt Shea, working so hard on a solution. I call that an opportunity. And so if we take up the mentality of being solution-minded and quit focusing on all these problems and instead turn and look to the solution, every time a new problem comes hurling down at us, we'll say, that's okay, we've got a solution, and we're working towards it. So as long as we're working towards that very viable and common-sense solution, we have hope. So that has just kind of been the outset lately, and especially for this year. Focus on this blessing of an opportunity that we have before us, and to get in and decide to participate and make it happen. So let me go ahead and introduce Representative Matt Shea. He has just a couple things that he wanted to start off with for all of you. Please give him a hand. Thank you.
How's everybody doing?
Looks like freedom out there. I love it. Look at how many people are out there. Look to your right and your left. These are all people that love freedom in this area. You're not alone, okay? No matter what somebody tries to tell you. Here's what I would love to do. If you have a smartphone, take it out right now. And I want you to type in Liberty State in Facebook and like the page. Okay? Really simple. We can all do that. Then when you're done doing that, I want you then to go to patriotpolls.org and vote on the proposed state seal. Okay? We've been doing this for a little while, and we had 1,000 people weigh in and vote on what the flag design was, and I'll get to all of that here in a second, but it's important. Social media has changed the political landscape. We are able to go around mainstream media and get the truth to the folks. And that's part of what doing this is. So again, go to Liberty State on Facebook, like the page, go to Patriot Polls and make sure you vote today. And we are not downtown Seattle, only vote once, okay? Only vote one time. All right. I'm going to bring Renee back up here, and a little bit later I'll be giving a full presentation on the 51st state. Thank you all very much for being here. Just really appreciate it. It's just great to see so many patriots after being in Olympia for the last week. So it's awesome. Thank you for being here. All right, Renee.
Okay, as far as our good fortune in opportunities that we have another good opportunity with a fantastic guy who is running for sheriff this year. Let me please introduce Michael Berry. Would you all give him a round of applause, please?
All right. Thank you, Renee, for that introduction. And thank you for all the hard work that you put into make this event possible. I want to just give a quick explanation of how I got here to Stevens County. About 17 years ago, I was a cop in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I realized that I did not want to raise my family in a big city, and I sure didn't want to retire to an urban area. So I started looking around for something different, something better. I wanted to find a place that was rural, with abundant natural resources, where the people were conservative and Christian and pro-gun, and where the local government was as unobtrusive as possible. I did, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I was actually an American Redoubter, and I never even heard of it, but it's still great that I found it. So you fast forward a few years, and I made it here to this area, and the things that were important to me then and that brought me here to Eastern Washington are the same things that are important to the 51st state movement today. So I completely understand the frustration with the liberal ideology that's getting forced on us by the left coast with things like the Hearst decision, and I was glad to hear just within the last couple of days sounds like it's been taken care of. The Growth Management Act, Initiative 594, And most recently, the state attorney general who's talking again about trying to do a California-style so-called assault weapons ban and a ban on high-capacity magazines. These things are nothing less than a continued attack on our way of life. And what we need is we need a government that understands that the welfare of the people supersedes the demands of the state. So why am I running to be your sheriff? Fast forward a few years, and I was able to retire here to Deer Lake. And for about 2 years, I was truly retired, and I got to stay at home. And all of a sudden, I noticed that my honey-do list kept getting bigger and bigger. And I swear I was working it harder at home for my wife than I had ever had to work full-time back for the city. So I puttered around the house for a little bit longer, and then she finally told me, you know what, you need to go find something to do and get out of the house. So like any good husband, I did as I was told, and I volunteered to be a reserve deputy with the Stevens County Sheriff's Office. Soon after that, I was hired full-time, and that gave me an opportunity to really get to know an incredible group of deputies that are doing just a Herculean job of trying to keep the people of Stevens County safe with about half the manpower on the road that they should have and with little to no support, communication, or leadership from their administration. So I heard that from the deputies, and I saw it from my own eyes, and I thought, I need to talk to some community members and see if they see the same thing. So I talked to police chiefs, fire chiefs, school superintendents, business and community leaders, and they told me across the board there is little to no interagency cooperation or communication, and there is a desperate need for change at the top of the sheriff's office. So what are my qualifications to be your sheriff? I've already said I'm a deputy with the Stevens County Sheriff's Office. I retired after 20 years from the Albuquerque Police Department as a lieutenant. I'm currently Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Air Force with 28 years of service, most of that in law enforcement and emergency management. I have a master's degree in business. My wife and I own a small business. I am a life member of the National Rifle Association. And at the end of 2016, my fellow deputies elected me to be the president of their Stevens County Law Enforcement Association. At that time, for over 10 years, they'd been discussing trying to expand the membership. And in our very first meeting, after being elected, we did exactly that. We voted to expand to include cops from other agencies, police officers from other municipal agencies within the county, jailers, dispatchers, and civilian support staff. And we grew the membership by 50% in the first year. But our crowning achievement was just last month with our first annual Shop with a Cop program. I hope some of y'all heard about it. But we had first responders from five different agencies here in the county volunteer their time to shop with kids who were nominated by school districts from throughout the county to shop with us for our grant money for free. We worked with business leaders and community leaders like the Colville Walmart and the Colville Food Bank. And that interagency cooperation, which has been so lacking for so long, is, I think, a big part of what made that event so successful and why there's a ton of people that are excited to see what this year's second annual Shop with a Cop event is going to look like. And I'm excited as well. So those same people that I talked with, they told me they want to help. They know how shorthanded we are, but there's no process, there's no avenue for them to provide that help. So what I intend to do is to put the community back into policing. And what that's going to look like is, first and foremost, I want to start a sheriff's advisory committee, which is going to be key leaders from throughout the county that meet with me and my staff regularly with the intent of, I mean, who knows better about the problems in their neighborhood than the folks that live there? So the community and law enforcement working together and communicating to identify problems early on and then come up with a proactive solution to solve that problem. Instead of right now, we're so shorthanded and we're so lacking in leadership that we are a reactive police department that waits until the event occurs, shows up and makes personal contact afterwards and writes a report. That doesn't solve the problem, and we need to do something to be more proactive. Next is the Sheriff's Auxiliary. The same people that are drawn here to the American Readout, the people with skills like military, first responder, or communications, those are the same people whose help we need in the case of a natural disaster or a national emergency. And the time to identify those folks isn't after the event's already occurred. It's too late then. So we need to find those people with the right skills who want to help before something happens, train with them, exercise with them, and then, God forbid, when something does happen again, and it will happen again, we don't have to depend as much or at all on the state or federal response forces. We have an organic group of neighbors who are ready and trained to take care of their fellow neighbors. So I think that next is the Neighborhood Watch. Right now, we need to expand and improve the Neighborhood Watch throughout the county. And lastly is our reserve program. When I started as a reserve deputy, there were more than 10 reserve deputies volunteering to work for the organization. Today there's one. And that kind of neglect and the atrophy that the reserve people volunteers experienced is the same problems that the full-time deputies ran into. And that leads to what I believe the biggest problem here is with the sheriff's office in the county. Stevens County is 2,500 square miles. It's the size almost of the state of Delaware. It's almost exactly the same. And in that area, on any given time on average, we have three road deputies responding to calls for service from you, the citizens. That's outrageous. I can't imagine three people covering that much area. That number of total deputies on the department is the same number that we had in 1995. So 23 years of changes in law enforcement and expansion in our roles, and we don't have a single additional deputy here from back then. That same number of total deputies for the organization is the lowest number of sworn deputies per capita of any rural county in the state of Washington. 27 rural counties with a population of 50,000 or less, and we are dead last with the number of deputies we have to protect and serve the citizens of Stevens County. So what are the results of officers always coming to work and doing the job of two people, being undermanned all the time? Well, in the last 4 years, we've had over 50% turnover in our full-time deputy staff. So we have to spend the time and money to bring in new folks and train them up. And that's very labor intensive. People don't leave bad organizations. People leave bad leaders. And I think that's being played out today with the vast turnover of our full-time staff and our over 90% turnover in our reserve program. Another huge problem is the jail. For decades, our jail has been obsolete. And to this day, our jailers go to work every day in overcrowded and unsafe conditions without the proper training and equipment. And nothing's been done in the last 7 years to improve their circumstance. Something has to change. My entire adult life, both in the military and law enforcement, I've taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. As your sheriff, I will continue to defend your constitutional rights and liberties against anyone and anything that threatens them. Your sheriff's office needs an advocate for public safety issues. It needs someone that'll fight for the people of Stevens County and for our employees. I will be that leader. I want to close with a quote by Ronald Reagan. I hope we once again have reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There is a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts. I'm Mike Berry, and I'm running for Stevens County Sheriff, and I'm asking for your support, and I'm asking for your vote. Thank you.
Yeah.
The voice of the American Redoubt. Radio. Free. Redoubt.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Never seen a diamond in the flesh.
This is segment three. If you're just joining us, you are tuned into segment three, where we're doing special coverage of the Liberty State rally and fundraiser, which took place up in Colville, Washington yesterday, Saturday, January 20th, standing room only. And they raised a lot of money. I'm not going to disclose how much money they made. All right, $50,000. I'm just kidding. No, they raised more than $100, less than $10,000, and that is going toward expanding the website and producing flags, bumper stickers, and all that kind of promotional material for the public information campaign to really advance the cause and promote Liberty State. This segment is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, planning your property with the forethought to integrate the primary need of water access, food supply, energy production, and security features. These are all crucial things that are important to us that are self-reliant, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots that want to own our own property and have a homestead that's going to produce in a way that's going to sustain us with security in mind. It's great folks, too. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. Check them out. So I'm going to turn this over to Representative Matt Shea, who he gave a long presentation. We videoed this, and we are going to make the video available so you can watch the entire thing, including the slide presentation slides. And so you get that visual of that you don't get with just the podcast or just the radio show. So we're going to have that video and get that over to Representative Matt Shea sometime in the next week to 10 days. So that can be uploaded for everybody who was not able to be here at this event. But here's just a snippet of it. Hopefully whet your appetite to want to learn more about what was said. So the next two segments is going to be Representative Matt Shea talking about Liberty State in Colville, Washington, January 20th, yesterday.
Further ado, you all are here to hear Representative Matt Shea describe all about the 51st state. Afterwards, we're going to have a brief Q&A period, so please hold all of your questions until after he is done speaking. And if you would all please give a very warm welcome to the man in charge of this whole effort, Representative Matt Shea.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I want to start with a video today, if we could. See if this comes up, actually, over there.
Hey, Inside, it's Seattle. We don't have enough liberal politicians.
Do Seattle a solid. Send Monka Dingra to the Senate.
Monka Dingra will give us free stuff. I love free stuff.
Who cares about higher card tab fees? The cars.
Higher taxes, bigger government? Oh, yeah.
Monka Dingra is Seattle sophisticated, not like those East Side soccer moms.
Seattle loves Monka Dingra.
She's on our side.
She's one of us.
Do it for Seattle and send Monka Dingra to the state senate.
All right, now that is a parody video, but I think captures the distinct difference from downtown Seattle and eastern Washington. Can I get an amen to that? So I want to bring up the slideshow now, and I want to start with something that I think is absolutely critical to understand. We have a lot of people out there that have a lot of differing views on what a 51st state should look like, and very candidly, I don't care if it's a 51st state or we're the 53rd. I really don't care, as long as we're free. As long as we're free. Now, some people say, well, Matt, why do you say it that way? Well, because there are some dramatic differences between downtown Seattle and eastern Washington. And one of those dramatic differences is that over here, many of us believe that our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean there can't be atheists in the state of liberty. Of course there can. But it doesn't change the fact that our country and our state were founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Now, there's been a lot of argument and debate over that over the years, but the Bible was the number one source cited by the Founding Fathers. That's a historic fact. But I don't want to talk about the Founding Fathers today. I actually want to go to China. Okay? Let's go to China for a second. There was a book written called Jesus in Beijing by David Aikman. It was an author. He went over there. And in 2002, from the Chinese Premier Academic Research Institute, the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences in Beijing, they gave a presentation to 18 American tourists. And one of those tourists was David Aikman. And here is what that academic, okay, this is the atheist communist Chinese, okay, said about the United States when they studied what made America great. Quote, "We studied everything from the historical, political, economic, and cultural perspective. At first, we thought it was because you had more powerful guns than we had. Then we thought it was because you had the best political system. Next, we focused on your economic system. But in the past 20 years, we have realized that the heart of your culture is your religion, Christianity. That is why the West has been so powerful. The Christian moral foundation of social and cultural life was what made possible the emergence of capitalism and then the successful transition to democratic politics. We don't have any doubt about this." That's the atheist communist Chinese, so there you go. So there's really no more debate about this. Let's talk about it. Judeo-Christian foundation, I just talked about Jesus in Beijing. I also want to talk about separation of church and state. Now, that has been twisted today. In the current Constitution of Washington State, there's actually Article 1, Section 11, an absolute freedom of conscience in all matters of religious sentiment. Is that happening in Washington State today? No. Just ask the photographer or the florist or the baker. Interestingly enough, though, nobody reads the state constitution, and in Article 26, it's even clearer. There shall be perfect toleration of religious sentiment, quote unquote. In fact, Article 26 is the only irrevocable part of our state constitution. Do you think that's being followed today? No, it's not. And so that kind of brings us to the question of what Mark Kerr talked about earlier. Who is government? Who is government? And what Mark said is really the truth. Government isn't a who. It's an it. It's like a car. It's a tool. What matters is the people driving the car, the governing. And if we look at a lot of what's happening in the current state of Washington, the governing are not reflecting the values, traditions, belief, and heritage of Eastern Washington. It's just not happening. Now, I've had some people say, well, we need to trust government. We need to trust the governing, you mean? Well, okay, we need to trust them too. And after I broke the national news story on the memo from Larry Wooten in the Bundy case here a few weeks ago, I don't think that we should trust government or the governing again. We should ask the hard questions. We should not say that that's just some paranoia, because when you have a memo from the lead investigator in the Bundy case from the Bureau of Land Management say that there was an alleged kill book where they bragged about driving three people to suicide, where there was alleged sexual misconduct, where they withheld exculpatory evidence, which, by the way, is a crime. And then they admitted that, yes, indeed, there were snipers down at the Bundy Ranch pointed at innocent American citizens. I got to tell you something. A sniper rifle is not due process, not in any day, and it should never be in America or even in this state ever. So we need to, I think, take a look at how we view freedom today. I've heard a lot from the left, and I'm going to go through some things, but I've heard a lot from the left that we shouldn't even have a voice anymore. How is that freedom? You know what? I could disagree with you, but as long as you're not being disruptive and you're allowing all the views to come out, I will fight and die to protect that. And that's the way we should all be. So who is going to solve this problem that we have right now? It's going to be us. This is about people. It's going to be us. It is going to be us. It's going to be us with mutual respect and submission and discussion. There were vast and differing views at the founding of America and even at the founding of Washington State. And I'm going to get into a little bit of what those were. But we can still respect each other if we're driving toward the same goal of liberty and freedom. I also want to say that I don't believe that America or Washington State, for that matter, can be pointed in the right direction if God is not at the center of our lives so he can be at the center of our country and our state. So what are some reasons? And these are just a few, okay? There are many, okay? These are just a few. I believe that some of these, a lack of respect for traditional morality, a lack of respect for all human life, including in the womb. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that people try to say that all of a sudden you become a human because you pass 6 inches across the birth canal. That's ridiculous. And I got to tell you something about that, too. If arbitrarily you can decide where along that line life begins, then no life is truly protected. A right of conscience we've already talked about. But what about a right of property? How many of you know a rancher that's having to deal with stubble height? Or maybe wolves? Or maybe the Department of Ecology? And you can feel free to boo if you want to on that one. That's okay. How about the right to bear arms? Is that under attack in our state right now? How about high taxes? So let's talk about a few of these things. So just currently this year, here are some reasons. You've got an income tax, a sugar tax, a carbon tax, a property tax increase. So picture yourself for a second at the gas pump where the carbon tax would increase your gallon of gas by 20 cents. Sipping on a soda, which they want to tax at 24 cents a can. Reading your property tax statement, which is going to go up a few hundred dollars. And imagine a vacuum cleaner in your back pocket, because that's the way it is. That doesn't reflect our values in Eastern Washington. And these things come up year after year after year. Despite the fact the Supreme Court has said an income tax is unconstitutional in Washington State, it keeps coming up because they say, we don't care. We don't care. Well, we care. I care. Then you have the Hearst issue with water. And by the grace of God and some great work, including by Representative Dave Taylor, we were able to fix the Hearst decision and preserve water rights for the next generation here in Washington State. Representative Taylor stood up on the floor of the House of Representatives and he said this, if you think that you are going to meter our wells in eastern Washington, you better prepare for a war. Whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting, right? As the old saying goes. Then you have the right to bear arms. So they want to, you know, and I just blows my mind the lack of reality in downtown Seattle. But I digress. A magazine ban, right? A high-capacity magazine ban they introduced. They want to push that forward this year. The so-called assault weapon ban. And you've got also House Bill 2738 that was introduced this last week that would effectively ban concealed carry everywhere in the state of Washington. You would have to ask permission, express permission of every private property owner where you go to carry concealed. Could you imagine basically carrying around a binder and then carrying concealed? I mean, that's what they're talking about. That's ridiculous. It doesn't reflect our values. So-called safe storage, where they want to prosecute people after the fact if your safe gets broken into. Here's the bottom line with this. One more bureaucrat is not going to stop bad people. One more permit or stack of permits is not going to stop bad people. One more gun-free zone is not going to stop bad people. One more law is not going to stop bad people. It is armed, trained, good people that stop armed, bad people every time. That's the way it always has been, and that is the way it always will be. Property taxes. Property. What is property? Do we know anymore? 1878, the first state constitution. There's a big argument there, too, and I get it. And here's one of the reasons why. In 1878, Article 5, Section 23 of the state constitution said this, quote, all lands within the state are declared to be alloidial, and feudal tenures with all their incidents are prohibited. Does anybody know what a alloidial title is? You can never lose it to a property tax foreclosure, to liens, to anything, unless you sign it away. Now, how many of you actually knew that that system was preserved in the 1889 Constitution later, not in the Constitution, but in statute under something called the Torrens system? How many of you ever even heard that? It exists in Washington State, and guess what? They're trying to get rid of it this year. They're trying to abolish it this year for modernization purposes. But I called them on it, and it was mainly West Coast, West Side counties that were trying to abolish this, and I said, wait a minute. We don't need to abolish this. We need to make the system easier for people to get their title registered in the Torrens system so we have property rights in Washington State again. But that shows you the difference in worldview. Then last, on education. If you want to homeschool, if you want to send your kids to private school, if you want to go to public school, that's great. But you should have the choice to do it, and you should be able to keep your money to pay for it. And that is something that would be different in a state of liberty. So as I said on my radio show a couple of times, an emerald curtain has descended around downtown Seattle, and it's time we pull back the curtain and reveal the wizard behind it. Let's talk about what we're facing. I'm going to be very blunt today, as many of you know. We face a communist threat. Now, people say, you can't say communist today. You can't say it. Well, these are actual communists, and they say they're communists on their websites and their Facebook posts, so okay. But here, let me just prove it to you. Antifa, everybody's heard of them. Do those flags look similar? Does that symbol look similar? I'd say that's probably conclusive proof right there alone. Okay? But if that doesn't prove it for you. I'm going to show you the octopus. Now, it's, you in the back probably can't read those. This is the network of socialist organizations in downtown Spokane, in our own backyard. Wow. And here's the interesting part about that. Some of these people actually advocate violence. But wait, I thought they were for peace, as the Peace Justice Action League of Spokane says. And yet they advocate treating other countries and some of our allies and some people in America as if they were third world citizens or third class citizens. But if you don't believe me, this is from their own book called The Deep Green Resistance. Their own playbook. And you'll see down in the lower right-hand corner, for those of you in the back that can't see it, it says violence against humans, direct confrontation and conflict as part of their taxonomy of action. This is from their own playbook. This isn't me. So every time that people get accused, when you stand up on a stage like this, defending the freedoms of Americans, defending the Constitution of the United States, defending the state of Washington's Constitution, and if those documents mean what they say, that's not violent. That's American. This is violent. Second, Soviet Islam. Only a coalition of Islamists and Marxists can destroy the United States of America. For those of you old enough to remember Carlos the Jackal, that is his quote. But if that isn't enough, the highest-ranking KGB defector to the United States of America, General Mihai Pachipa, says it even plainer. Before 1969 came to an end, Palestinian terrorists trained at the KGB's Balashika Special Operations School east of Moscow had hijacked their first El Al plane and landed it in Algeria, etc. It's interesting that General Pachipa's book, Disinformation, talks about the communist infiltration of the left in the United States of America very plainly, and yet it's as if it doesn't exist. Folks, it does exist, and that's one of the things we're facing. But if that doesn't convince you, how about this? The New York Times had a best-selling author who broke this story that most of you probably did not hear about because it didn't get a lot of play in the mainstream media. But it talks about how they had the FBI investigate, literally investigate, an American leftist organization that went to Germany to consult with Al-Qaeda. How many of you heard that in the media? But if that's not enough, in the mid-2000s in Virginia, there was a man named Ibrahim El-Brassi who was arrested in Virginia filming the superstructure of a bridge. When the FBI raided his house in a secret sub-basement, they found the archives of the Muslim Brotherhood in America. And in that archive, they found something that's come to be known as the explanatory memorandum. And out of this arrest came something called the Holy Land Foundation trial, the largest terror financing trial in U.S. history. And part of that whole financing trial, they introduced that explanatory memorandum as evidence and said, "Judge, rule on this." And so the judge did, ruled as a matter of fact in law, this list of organizations I'm about to show you were unindicted co-conspirators as members of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. One of those organizations was the North American Islamic Trust. And this is actually from the court document. This is a primary source. You'll see North American Islamic Trust. Who owns the mosque in Spokane Valley, Washington? The North American Islamic Trust. As a matter of fact, in law, the Muslim Brotherhood owns the mosque in Spokane Valley, Washington. That does not reflect my values, and I don't believe it reflects the values of most Americans. And I also don't believe that Sharia law is compatible with the Constitution of the United States. That is a big difference from what folks in downtown Seattle believe.
You're listening to a special presentation featuring John Jacob Schmidt, brought to you exclusively by Radio Free Readout.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Lenin put it this way: it does not matter if three-quarters of mankind is destroyed. All that counts is that the last quarter is communist. Lenin spoke, communist world domination.
Welcome back. This is Radio Free Redoubt, segment four, which is brought to you by Works Holsters. Go to works.com, W-E-R-K-Z.com, for custom-made holsters for all of your concealed carry needs or open carry needs. And those come with a lifetime guarantee, works.com. Check them out. All right. If you're just tuning in late, I'm going to play the second segment is going to be this fourth segment is going to be the second part of what Representative Matt Shea covered, but only part of what he covered because of time. So we are going to make that video available to you, and that will be over at libertystate.org, hopefully in about 10 days. I'm getting some new video software. And so we're going to hopefully increase the quality of our videos and start producing a lot more videos here at Radio Free Redoubt. So, this is going to be our, guinea pig project, this presentation in Colville. And, now Jordan Page also performed here a couple times, and he played, he played yesterday at the event, but I want to remind you, he's going to be playing in a concert on February 3rd, 7 p.m. at La Belle La Vie in the Spokane Valley. We've got that posted at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. Please tell your friends, pass the word. Jordan Page concert is free. But, of course, we are encouraging people to pay for donations to help support Jordan and what he's doing. He's doing a great job for Liberty. So if you could be there to support that, that'd be awesome. We're also going to try to live stream from that event as well. And we were live streaming yesterday, for those of you who weren't not aware. We weren't sure. We didn't announce it because we weren't sure if we were going to be able to. But we had all the equipment, and everything went off flawlessly. Had a couple folks said that their stream cut out, but it was on their end, not on ours. As long as we were monitoring it, we never lost our outgoing signal. So we're super pleased with that. So we will be live streaming Jordan Page, his concert, February 3rd, Saturday, February 3rd. It's a couple weeks from now. In the Spokane Valley, the capital of Free Washington, at the La Belle La Vie Event Center. So we'll have more information on the website and Facebook and more so as we get closer. So help spread the word. Okay, this is the second snippet, little glimpse of Representative Matt Shea's presentation from the event. And then we will go ahead and close out. So God bless you guys. You have a super blessed week. Thank you for all of your support. And thank you to all the patriots that worked so hard putting that event together. Amazing turnout. My hat's off to you. I salute all of the patriots who put that together and made that happen. That is true leadership demonstrated for the cause of liberty. Those people know the meaning of pledging their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor for a cause. And that they have done. They set the standard. The rest of you patriots in the American Redoubt, they set the standard. They set the bar high. So the challenge is out there. Are you going to get out there and lay it all down for liberty, for our posterity, for generations to come? Well, let's see. Don't talk about it. Let's see you do it. This is Representative Matt Shea, District 4, Washington State, formerly Washington State, Liberty.
We can't, it seems like we get a problem that comes up and then we get ready, we get fired up, we go take care of it. We have got to remain stirred up. We have to remain in the fight for as long as it takes. We can't just get involved and then go home. Now, it's interesting. Wolverines teach us a lot. They've studied wolverines. They've tagged them. They've tagged them and tracked them. And it's interesting that wolverines always run 3 miles an hour. Uphill, downhill, snow, dry land, rain, mud, doesn't matter. 3 miles an hour. In fact, they tracked a wolverine going up 4,500 vertical feet at 3 miles an hour. That's got to be a tired wolverine when that wolverine got to the top. But it's 3 miles an hour. That's the steady perseverance we need. Stay in this for the long time. Because liberty as a state, this solves all of the problems that we always talk about. This is the solution. Not to try to fix a broken paradigm in downtown Seattle, but to create our own new paradigm of freedom that can then be a beacon to everybody else in the world. Wolverines are also awesome because they teach us self-sufficiency. In the wintertime, a wolverine will dig down. In fact, some languages are actually translated as bone crushers. They'll dig down 12, 14 feet in an avalanche to get a carcass of an animal that's buried in the avalanche in the winter to eat and live and survive. I don't want to have to rely on the good beneficence of downtown Seattle for anything. I want to be self-sufficient. Wolverines also teach us a lot about parenthood. Wolverines, and the wolverine father in particular, will go around to each one of its pups and spend exactly the same amount of time with each pup. Do you have a young person in your life you're mentoring right now on freedom and liberty? And for those of you that are giving me kind of the, well, you don't know my son, good night. Man, that boy, I don't know if he's ever going to grow up. No. Pick somebody in your life. There's many young people. Pick a young person in your life and mentor them. That's how we pass on freedom to the next generation. True freedom. True freedom. Then last, proper attitude. Wolverines are awesome in this respect. They're actually really, really playful animals. There's videos of them online. They actually are playing fetch kind of like a dog. And you can't really imagine a wolverine doing that unless you've seen it, so go take a look at them online. But wolverines are really playful animals, but here's the great part about a wolverine. If you attack a wolverine's family, it will rip your face off. Now, how many times have our family, have our property, have our fundamental rights been attacked, and we haven't done a darn thing? We need to. So, concluding the presentation, go to libertystate.org. We're continuing to add to that website every day, answering many of frequently asked questions that are out there of how this can possibly happen and how you can get involved. And I will now, if we have a little bit, how much time do we got? Good? All right, so I'll take 10 questions in the interest of time because we also have to get to the live auction. But I want, before I get there, I just want to say thank you for being here and thank you for listening. I believe this is the solution. I believe very strongly this is doable. We just got to keep at it. We got to stay in the fight, and we cannot let down. We can't say, oh, that just is not going to happen. We've got to do it, if not for our sake, for the sake of our kids and our grandkids. Amen? All right. Okay, let's take some questions out there. Yes, and I'll repeat it. Go ahead.
This is regarding the legislative process. Now, according to what I read, it takes, is this a simple majority vote?
Simple majority vote.
Okay, and does the governor have a say?
No.
Okay. Now, with that, is there enough, if all of the counties involved, the representatives and everything vote, is there enough, or do we have to convince some of the other people to let us go?
Yes, we will have to convince some of the other people to let us go, but that's why I always say, look, it's actually beneficial for you to let us go, because if we're that one map I showed up there where we have more money coming to us than we're raising in taxes, if we're stealing so much money from your social programs in Western Washington, we're, again, so sorry. You'll have more money for your socialist programs. Great. Awesome. Let us go.
For us, it makes sense.
You know, it's interesting that a couple of their mainstream outlets have actually advocated that they just let us go for this exact reason. So I think there are people out there that understand this, and there are people out there that think their voice is not being heard in downtown Seattle and it's being drowned out from us in eastern Washington. So we just have to make that case to them, and I think we're off. Yep, absolutely. Yes, in the back, red hat. Yeah, let's do that. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to get the wireless mic out there. But the question was, when is the bill going to come to the floor for a vote? And then, if not, when would the initiative start? So here is my initial answer. Let's switch them out. Test. Okay. The HJM has been introduced. The bill has not been introduced yet. We're going to introduce that probably at the end of this session, and then we'll reintroduce it at the beginning of next session. So if we do not get a hearing next session, we do not get it on the floor next session, then we will go for an initiative the following year. So that would be we would start in 2019-2020 time frame. Yep. And that's going to, we want to get enough time too to educate people on all of this. And make sure that we, again, create that great groundswell of support. Okay, Gary in the back, and then I'll come up front.
Part of the problem we see with talking to people about the 51st state, the state of liberty.
I really don't need this.
Okay. Is that the GAO over in Olympia, the Washington's version of the GAO, put out a report, I think it was published in the Spokesman Review, that for every dollar's worth of taxes and that we pay on this side, we get $1.33 back from out of the state. Now, given the fact that we could probably govern with less money than what Olympia seems to need, how do we convince these people on the east side of the state that are on the fence that keep throwing up that argument and saying that as long as we're getting more back than what we're putting in, it's a fool's errand?
Okay, so you are referring to, I'm going to get down to this slide very quickly. You are referring to this slide right here, which shows that we get back more tax money than we contribute. Okay? This is the answer to that slide, this slide, which shows that the actual amount of taxes we generate in eastern Washington will be far more than enough, that we don't need anything from that side of the state coming over to this side of the state. We would have far more than enough to run our government, which would be significantly smaller. And this is just with keeping everything the same. And this is from the Office of Financial Management, which is the equivalent to the GAO at the federal level. So thank you very much for that question. All right, other questions? In the purple, yep.
Yeah, the new map shows several states involved. So what are we talking about there as far as legislature's concerned? I know we'd have to have a vote in the Washington state legislature. Would that include part of Oregon, part of Idaho, et cetera, all of their state legislatures? What's involved there?
No, the reason I showed those kind of bigger maps is to show that the ideology that we're talking about in this area of the country is being solidified in all states kind of around us. To split the state, you can only split this state first, okay? Then if, for example, North Idaho, north of Salmon, it's some of the Idaho legislators have talked to me about, would split off, then we could join together after that. So you split first and then join. I've also talked to a couple people in eastern Oregon that said, again, don't leave us behind. We would really like to be a part of it. But you have to split first physically, then you can join. Yep. Great question. All right. What other questions do you have? Yes.
Property. When you first take ownership of property, would you buy it from the government or homestead laws? What would it be?
Well, it depends on if you have existing title or not. If you have existing title to the property, then at the advent of the state, it would immediately be alloidial, provided it was approved in the state constitution, of course. If there is certain properties that would be sold off by the state of Washington, it would be sold off with what's called a patent, a land patent, and then that would have the same incidence of alloidial title. So that's how that would work. Yeah.
Land
Well, state-owned land, that would be, yeah, that would be... It'd be a transfer across, and then what? How we disposed of our own land as our own state would be the decision of the governing, yep, that we chose, absolutely. Okay, next question.
How would the federal government retain any jurisdiction on the so-called federal lands, which are really not, or would they?
So what you're bringing up is the compact by which Washington State came into the Union. We came into the Union with three other states, Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota. South Dakota and North Dakota have about 5 to 6% federal land that is owned in their states. We're above 30. And the question is, how is that possible? Because in the compact, it says that the title to that land should be extinguished. At least that's the implication. When we write the compact, we would say that the title to that land is extinguished. And I think that's what we would argue as part of that compact coming in. That's how legally and constitutionally it would be done. I would also submit to you that any other jurisdiction that the federal government may have inside Washington State needs to be understood in this context. In currently in Washington State right now, okay, a lot of federal jurisdiction is given to the feds because of these interagency agreements. Department of Ecology, we have an agreement with the EPA, et cetera, okay? We are giving them jurisdiction. In the state of Liberty, why? Don't give them that jurisdiction. Don't make those interagency agreements. And so there's two parts of the jurisdiction that you're talking about. One is the land ownership, but the other is actual jurisdiction of federal agencies. There's actually two court cases on this, New York v. U.S. and Prince v. U.S. The United States Supreme Court said that you do not have to force a state to enact or enforce a federal regulatory program. And the Achilles heel of the federal government is they do not have enough people to enforce all these unconstitutional edicts and laws. They have to rely on state and local governments to do it. We don't need to let them. Okay? In the back, I'll come up front. And then that'll be, you'll be the last question, all right?
I have a question for you about assuming that the state of Liberty, you know, it all happens, we're going to have automatically two more senators, I would assume, that go to Washington, D.C. What kind of flack, along with electoral votes, what kind of flack do you believe that we would get from, you know, at the national level, because that'll really change things up a lot in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I mean, with the current Republican majority, I think they'd be happy, right? So there's one important point you talked about with electoral votes. I think this is really important to understand. The way that the Electoral College is set up now, constitutionally, originally, it was actually supposed to be a check against the people. A lot of folks don't know that. The way it's set up right now with the kind of winner-takes-all system, I don't believe is a correct thing. And I've put a bill forward. Obviously, this would be up for discussion in a new state constitution. I believe that each electoral vote is supposed to represent all the congresspeople and the senators of a state. So, for example, in Washington, we have 10 congresspeople, 2 senators, 12 electoral votes. Everybody understand that? Okay. I believe that electoral votes should be divvied out according to those congressional districts and then the popular vote of the state. So, for example, if we had 2 congressional districts in the new state of Liberty, we have them both vote for, let's say, Donald Trump, okay? Those two congressional districts each have an elector that's going to vote for Donald Trump. The 2 electoral votes that represent the senators would represent the popular vote of the state. That's how the founders really kind of intended it. And so I think we should get back to that. However, on top of that, I also believe that we need to make sure we preserve proportional representation at the state level. What does that mean? I believe that we should put a check in the system where we have every county that is in a new state has 1 senator per county. And then you have representatives that represent the population. That would be a good check in the system. It would protect our rural areas and essentially give a balance back to this state. Okay? All right, last question. Well, so, right, so the question is, how would you fund schools if you didn't have a property tax? And I showed that slide up there with the fact that 9% of the revenue that we have in the state is coming from property taxes, right? So then a portion of that is going to education, et cetera. Again, I believe we could find 9% efficiency in government to get rid of our property taxes. So you're not going to change anything. Schools would be funded. There's not some kind of doomsday scenario where teachers are out of work and schools are not funded. It's just a matter of how do we look at freedom? And I would say something else. More taxes does not grow an economy. Taxes redistribute people, not wealth. The way to grow an economy is to get government the heck out of the way of our small businesses, the heck out of the way of our ranchers, the heck out of the way of our loggers, the heck out of the way of our farmers. That's how we're going to grow the economy. And it's been proven over and over again. If you cut taxes and there's more productivity, you're actually going to have more tax revenue. It's actually better for our children if we did it that way. All right. So that was an excellent question. And again, too, if you had education choice, could you imagine that? So, all right. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank everybody for being here. Renee's going to wrap this up. Thank you for staying around for the presentation. There are materials on the back table as well. Make sure you go to Patriot Polls and you vote. Renee, come on back up.
Do it. This is the Gale, Last of the Mohicans soundtrack.